I now call to order the regular scheduled meeting of the Board of Zoning Appeals. Notice to the public of this meeting, the time, date, place, and the agenda was published as a legal notice Tuesday, May 6, 2014, in the Aiken Standard. Also by Tuesday, May 6, 2014, notice to contiguous property owners were mailed and signs were posted on the properties. Also, this notice of this meeting was sent on May 23, 2014 to the webmaster for posting on the city webpage, to the tourism coordinator for announcing on the city cable television station, and to the city clerk for posting on the municipal building notice board at least 24 hours before this meeting. Agenda sheets were also mailed or emailed to interested parties. As a reminder, it is unlawful for any person giving testimony to this board knowingly providing false information that's according to 22-9 of the Aiken Municipal Code. Each infraction is a separate offense with a penalty of up to 30 days and or a fine of $1,092.50. Anyone that wished to have a conversation with the board, I ask that you occupy the cubicle to my left. Please speak into the recording devices so that your conversations can be properly recorded. Anyone that wished to receive a copy of today's proceedings may either call the planning office or sign the sign-up sheet that's just beyond the double doors. When you're addressing the board, please state your name and your address. To the board, you have received copies of the May 25th, 2014 meeting. Are there any corrections or additions? I want to point out one thing that we spent a few minutes talking about prior to the meeting. Nancy is shown as being absent. She was at that meeting, but she went home not feeling well. But in the executive orders, she is listed as being present, which is in accordance with Robert's Rules of Order, that if you show up at a meeting and then later leave, you are considered present for that meeting. However, she was not a part of the discussions for the executive orders, and so they will be corrected to reflect that she was absent for that meeting. Are there any other corrections or additions to the minutes of that meeting?
Mr. Chairman, I move we accept the minutes as presented.
I second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that we accept the minutes of the March 25th, 2014 meeting as presented. Do we have any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor show by raise of the right hand. Those opposed, we have one abstention.
Technical question, Mr. Chairman. Do we need a quorum to approve the minutes?
No. We need a quorum for the meeting, and we do have a quorum for the meeting.
I know.
But not.
Interesting question.
Yeah.
I thought.
Okay. Thank you. The final orders will be signed once those corrections that I mentioned earlier are made, so we'll move into the new business. There was also one other, and I'll call on our secretary, and this will be an update to the board on the big discussion at the last meeting, an update on the composting issue. Sandra?
Yes, at our last hearing,
And I'll pass these orders around now for signature. At our last hearing with the Moore's application, the board motioned to continue their final decision to allow the Equine Committee to address four questions which the chair of the board drafted to them and presented to them at their April 29th meeting in the form of a letter. And I'll, if you're interested, I make copies of that letter. They just pass that around. And as you can see, the four questions are basically, is composting equivalent to removing manure from the property? Should lot size be a factor in allowing composting? What are the logistics of enforcing proper composting? And can compost be used on other property owned by the Moores? Now, staff, in working on those maintenance standards for equine use, realized that there were some portions of that that we felt was vague or ambiguous. And so we also sent a letter to the Equine Committee. We figured, might as well make them work. So, and so we sent a list of questions to them, separate from the Moores. They would be undertaking two separate actions. One, to respond to the chairman's letter, and then the other is to provide some direction on what they meant to staff. And I have copies of the staff memorandum as well, if you're interested in receiving that. Pat? The two memorandums were introduced to the Equine Committee on their April 29th meeting, and they decided to hold a second meeting on May 22nd, and they asked staff to provide all of the background information that was collected in the Moore's application. So we did that. It came to 105 pages back to back.
How many?
Made it 52, yes.
Okay.
105 single sheets. And they had a very productive meeting May 22nd. Their discussion is still in draft form. Not all of their members were present. But they did instruct staff to ask the board if reconvening on the Moore's application in the August meeting would be timely enough to suit your request. And I do need to ask you, can they take as long as getting the information back to you in time for your August hearing?
Yes.
If that's the case, I'll notify the Moores and go ahead, and when the time comes appropriately, I'll provide that legal notice, and it will be on your August agenda docket.
Thank you.
I know I paused, and then they're going to meet again in fall to review some of the staff questions. We had understood that the larger picture on the equestrian standards might end up going to Planning Commission and having becoming a text amendment to the zoning ordinance. And that is, again, separate from the Moore. So when you get the Equine Committee's response in August, you can go ahead and make your final decision and not have to wait for formal text amendments, because they're really quite separate issues.
Any questions on the update? Thanks, Sandra. We'll move directly into new business, and I call your attention to application 1493017, a variance request to reduce side setback distances, increase the floor area ratio of accessory buildings and associated variances to allow a detached carport at 407 Maple Drive. This is zone RS8. To the city, has this been properly posted?
Yes, the address is 704 Maple Drive.
Correct.
Okay. And I do have a short presentation.
Thank you.
This is an interior lot fronting on Maple Drive. And this exhibit is in your staff memorandum. It's Exhibit B. But let me just point out a few features here. This is the house. It is roughly 1,045 square feet, single story. These three sheds are currently in the backyard, and they total 395 square feet. At this point, then, all aspects of the property is in zoning code compliance. The applicant has a new car, and the neighbor's tree is dropping stuff. And so she would like to erect a carport, a narrow carport, for a single car on this side of the house, which is where the driveway is. That carport would be 252 square feet. The carport, in order to locate on that property, would need board approval to reduce the side setback. The house right now is 18 feet on that side setback. The carport is 12 feet wide. So you can see that the setback that the applicant is requesting would be reduced down to 2 feet, 1.5 inches. The applicant also would request that the board approve the floor area ratio between total number of outbuildings and heated floor area of the house. As it stands now, 50% of the house would mean that the carport would have to be very reduced in size. If you add the sheds and the carport together, the applicant has 62% of the ratio and not 50%. The carport exceeds that 50% limit by 125 square feet. So the request before you is to reduce the 10-foot side setback to 2 feet 1.5 inches and to reduce the 50% ratio, to increase the 50% ratio to 62%.
Questions for the city?
This is the aerial that shows you the house, the location of the trees. Now, I did want to point out that we've had other carport variances in the past in this general area. I don't know if the board remembers that, but I did go ahead and do some research and bring out the four that are in proximity to this request. And I did also summarize what those approvals were, and that's in your packet. I just wanted to call it to your attention. At the time when the board was looking over some of these past variance requests, they were concerned about the number of variances and struggled with the idea of whether it was changing the character of the neighborhood. And I drove through the neighborhood just with an eye to that request and found that the whole thing was just sort of jumbled up, if that's an expression. And it was really hard to pin down what that special character would be, because some people had carports, some didn't. It was just all kinds of different things. But they were all in answer to the problem of small houses on the smaller width lots. And as this shows you here, here's the house. This is where the drive is and the carport would be. And this is the other side of the house, which has more side setback room, but also has a air conditioning heating unit that would be in the way. So should the board find that the criteria are met, there are just a few conditions at the end of the staff memorandum that the board might consider.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
To the city.
Just to clarify things, if this carport was attached to the house, it would, of course, with the same width, require a variance, my calculations, but the intrusion into the setback would be less. Would you agree that it wouldn't require the variance as far as the number of square feet for an outbuilding?
We went to the building official, Mike Jordan, and we discussed the ability of attaching the carport to the house. And he recommended against it, because although he tried really hard to find a way of making it work, the problem is that if you look at the design of the carport, it's not a shed roof, it's more of a gable roof, and you're going to run into a lot of potential stormwater and damage over the years. He just felt it couldn't be done with that design of the shed, of the carport.
Well, with that design of the shed and carport, that's a prefabricated metal or fiberglass roof with posts. If you look at Exhibit F as an example, the second page, you see the neighbor's carport is attached to the house, and it's a continuation of the roof. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a continuation of the gable roof, but that's a framed structure.
You would have to address the question then to the applicant. I think expense was a concern as well.
Well, it sounds like you discussed this with the building official, but the consideration was only for attaching the proposed carport.
True. And with the carport attached to the house, the ratio variance would not be required. The side setback variance would be. Regarding the distance of the proposed carport to the property line, both public safety looked at the fire code issues and engineering utilities looked at the line issues, and they felt there was not an issue with either of those. But you're quite right about the setback being reduced if it were attached to the house. The other issue, however, that we realized are the windows on the side of the house, which are the living room windows. And attaching the shed, I don't know why I keep calling it a shed, I'm so sorry, carport to the house, you will be blocking a good amount of natural light, since those are the larger windows that feed into the living room. If you will look at Exhibit F, which gives you a photograph of the living room, the ones that front the street are small, much smaller.
Thank you. I think this is appropriate consideration as far as the variance. Certainly the living room, the natural light, and all the other aspects.
And on the placement of the carport would be exactly where you got it on Exhibit B. Is that correct? It would move that far. It'd be even with the house. Exhibit B.
Yes. Well, I believe it might stick out in front of the house a foot or two. There's no problem with the front setback as long as the carport doesn't jut out too far along the front.
Okay. But there's no, even though where the house is, it doesn't matter where the carport is. Is that what you're saying? Forward.
Front of the house versus front of the carport.
Oh, right. The setback on the front of the house is
35 feet.
32, isn't it?
On one side and 35 on the other.
But you're saying where it's located may project a foot or two out in front of the house?
Yes.
Okay. But no more than that?
No. Okay. But again, you might want to address that question to the applicant, so I'm sure.
Because the fence is there.
Yes, and the concern with locating it even with the house was that there's a gate to that fence that swings toward the street. Right. And the applicant wanted to make sure that she could continue using that gate.
Do we have any response from neighbors or anything on our posting?
No, I don't. I believe that the house that is closest to, is most adjacent to the carport, is a rental house, but I'm not sure.
But no responses?
No.
Okay.
Further questions to the city?
Yeah, I'd like to just get something straight. My assumption was that this carport would straddle the existing concrete driveway and be, according to Exhibit B, flush with the plane of the front plane of the house.
It can't be. If it's going to be on this side of the fence, it's going to be more than a 21-foot long.
Well, I guess I assumed it was
going to be probably
eight feet
or better in front of the house.
I agree that with the fence that's there, it would be the carport would have to be in front of the plane of the house.
Well, will it be in front of the plane, the front plane of any other house on the street? Is that a factor as far as the requirement for a variance?
I looked into that. Let me just see if I thought I had an exhibit here that showed buildings on in the vicinity.
I drove the neighborhood, and there were some that's in quite extensively in front of the plane of the house.
But that you think it's okay to have a carport in the front plane of the house? It's a shed that. It can't be.
Right.
Carport has to maintain the front setback distance of 20 feet.
Sounds like the same criteria should have been used.
It's pretty common that carports...
I accept your interpretation. But
No. Carports are specifically excluded from the front plane of the house measure.
For example, if the carport was attached to the house, then it would be counted as unheated space. It wouldn't affect the calculation of the 1,000-plus feet of the house, of the heated space in the house.
It wouldn't be additive to the square footage of the house, but it wouldn't require a variance
right.
as far as the ratio.
Right.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Thomas?
I think where y'all were going was 3.4.2b1. Detached accessory building shall only be permitted in the rear and side yard, no closer to the street right away than the principal building on the lot, except for garages, carports, automatic teller machines, canopies over fuel pumps, and similar structures as determined by the planning director. Now, the paragraph after that says, in any residential zone or limited professional limited business zone, an accessory building may not be closer to the street right away than the plane of the front wall of the principal building on the adjacent lot. So if it's going to go out in the front closer to the street than the one next door, that might be another variance that would need to be included.
That's more than the plane of the house next door, or the front plane of the house.
House next door, yes.
Right, so it's not to obstruct their
right.
view.
There's two issues. One, the front plane of their house, and then the next paragraph talks about of the adjacent houses.
Do that last paragraph one more time for me, please.
What page is that, Tommy?
3-37.
Because I don't think we've held garages and carports to that.
Ed and I have had that conversation before, and that's consistent with what he had said. In any residential zones or the limited professional limited business zone, an accessory building may not be closer to a street right-of-way than the plane of the front wall of the principal building on an adjacent lot.
But that's addressing limited professional.
No. Or residential zone.
Or residential.
Residential zone or limited professional.
So I think a third variance has to be considered. I'm telling you, 21 foot on this side of the fence, I bet you'll have 7 or 8 feet in front of the house. Which I'm just trying to remember I didn't really look at the other property. I strongly bet that's in front of their house.
But why are you saying there'd have to be another variance? The fence the fence right here could just be moved back.
Well, if they're willing to do that, but as it stands now, that's not the plan. The plan is for that 10 by 12 by 21 to come.
Oh, you're saying if we approved it, that you.
Well, as the petition stands now, it seems like we're a variance short of consideration.
Yeah. See, my assumption looking at Exhibit B was Nancy assumed, I think, that the fence was going to be moved or the carport was going to straddle the fence, one or the other.
Right.
That's not what Sandra said.
Yeah, obviously. So Exhibit B is
right.
Is not the plan.
Do we know what the front plane of the house adjacent is?
Well, if you look at Exhibit D in your staff report, it's an aerial that shows the applicant's house and the adjacent house.
And the street isn't straight.
No.
So you've
There is less front yard in the house to the left on the adjacent house, yeah.
We'll deal with that during discussion. Any further questions to the city by the board? Thanks, Sandra. Ms. Chalker?
I'm Ms. Chalker, daughter.
You have to go up to the...
Up to the podium, please.
Does she have to go?
No.
Microphone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And state your name, please.
Name and address, please.
Monty Chalker, 704 Maple Street, Aiken. And there's a lot of variances out there in that neighborhood and at the carport that we were talking about. If you go to the end of Palm Drive, you'll see that one's been added to that house all the way out to the street. My mother did come and get approval to try to get approval for hers, where most of those people out there on that rental property have built self-made carports. The one on the house on the right side of Mother's was built onto that house. But my grandmother used to live down the end of that street on 714, and the other person's carport was in my grandmother's yard. And when it was bought that way, it already was over there. But if you go through that neighborhood, you'll see that most of them are handmade. I mean, you know, just have been put up, probably didn't get a permit for it. And right across the street from my mother, 707 on the corner lot, he was allowed, and it's in here, he was allowed to put a carport on the back side, which his yard would be corner-wise. So they allowed it to be set back because it has to come in on the back side of the lot. Now, all my mother, I'm going to read you what she wrote, if that be all right with the board. No, she wrote a letter for today.
Oh, okay. Oh.
She's not able.
We would need to stamp that as an exhibit.
Well, that'd be fine. This is just what she wrote herself, and she's just not able to get up here and stand. It says, "Good afternoon. My name is Bonnie Chalker. I purchased a new car last September. A few days later, I parked my car in my driveway under the trees from my neighbors. That overhangs my driveway. The next day, I noticed black spots on the hoods, so I went across town to where they hand wash cars. They looked at my car, and it was tar, and the only way to get it off was to Simonize it, which would cost her $60 every time that if she parked it under, and that would be closer to her house, that great big tree you see right there. So she's parking near the end of the street on the driveway at the present time to keep that from hurting her car. All she wants is coverage for her car to protect it. Her husband did all the work till he passed away 1.5 years ago. And he retired from the military 20 years and then from this city for 25. They have kept their property immaculate. If you go through that neighborhood, you will see that most of it is not like that. They have added siding onto the house and new windows. And if you were to attach the carport to that, you would be obstructing the siding of the house, which may cause leakage or further damage to the house later on down the road. I hope you see it fit to let me purchase a carport. in the neighborhood, there are numerous homemade ones. That do not look good. In fact, the neighbor behind me has one. At least I've had a manufactured one, and she did come to get her permit. She applied to get a permit for this, which most of the people out there in that neighborhood probably didn't, because if you ride around out there, you're going to see multiple carports. Hers is going to extend forward, but if you go down to the end of the Palm Drive, you'll see that that yard has one that starts at the house and goes all the way out to the street. I don't know if y'all approve that one. It's in the city. That lady lived there for quite a long time before she sold that house. Like I said, my mother's 86 years old. All she wants is to be able to park safely. You know how a lot of bad things happen to people. She wants to be able to park close to her house. And she cannot afford to be able to take it. And I'm 67 years old. I've had open heart surgery, and I can't get out there and wash the car. I'm doing the best as I can to help keep the property up. We even washed the house today, my husband did. So we're doing everything to improve that neighborhood. And she has, since she's been there since 1974, I think, so which is over 40 years. And I don't know if any kind of variance was there then about the sheds or anything. But she's not going to be she's unable to take down any of the sheds. They're all utilized because my father just passed a year and a half ago, and we haven't been able to go through all of that, everything that we need to. So it's really important to her to get that carport, and she's trying to do it the right way, and I would beg the city here to please let her put a carport up there. She's more protected, and her car is protected.
I'm glad you addressed the other three sheds, because you probably read the board's mind, because that question was going to come up.
Which one?
About the other three sheds. Can you eliminate one or the other? Are they all being utilized?
All of them are being utilized. The one in the middle being the oldest. It's full of property right now. But the man that rents the house next door said we could move it over there in his yard if we needed to. Now, the big shed my father had his motorcycle and his workshop in, and so it's still, you know, we haven't done away with any of that. And they're not cheap sheds that you just set up. These are some of those that were manufactured and brought there and put down. And they have added on the back of the house. They've extended the kitchen, so they do have a dining room in the house. And I think they have improved that house much more than most of those houses in the neighborhood. In fact, in 1960-something, I purchased a house out on the main street there, sold it several years later, because the government came in and built these houses when DuPont was coming into the area. These houses were built, just like Crosland Park, to house people that was coming into this area. So when my dad retired from the military before and then came up here to work for the city for 25 years, he purchased this house because it was up the street right from my grandmother, and they could look out and take care of her. And like I'm trying to look out for my mother, and she's been to the hospital in the last 2 weeks having panic attacks and shortness of breath, and it's all because she just wants to protect her car. And I did talk to one of the gentlemen up here on the planning committee with Miss, the lady over there, I forgot your name, and he said, you know, if he had a truck, and he would absolutely see no problem with a carport going up there against that house, because he would not suggest attaching it to the house. And like I said, there's multiple out there in that neighborhood of rental homes, and people just put what they want to up, and then if you catch them, then you just come out and catch them. And I don't know what you'd do then, but Mother wanted to do it the right way. So that's why we're here tonight.
Any questions from the board to Ms. Chalkin?
Now, is your name Monty also?
No, my name is Betty Jean Kane.
Betty Jean Kane, okay.
I'm her only daughter. I'm 67 years old.
And your address is?
120 Sin Street, Vaucluse.
Is actually Vaucluse now, or is it the Aiken address now?
They gave us the Aiken address. They messed us up with the post office down there. So actually, though, I was born and raised down there in that little town and came back and renovated a house, which has over 3,000 square feet, and it's really an appraised house, so I do have a nice piece of property down there. And like I said, Mother just wants to improve hers and be able to put a car in it and take care of it. And like the gentleman on the planning committee told us, that he would want the same thing for him or his wife, that he didn't, with it's not closed down on the sides, it's just open over the top, that, you know, that would protect her car and her getting out in the weather and being able to go in the front door. It's pretty dangerous for older folks nowadays, you know, just getting out of your car and getting to your house.
Thank you.
Any further questions from the board?
I have one. Hearing what has been read about the carport not being in front of the plane of the house next door, could that fence there be moved back so that the carport wouldn't have to extend out there? And I heard you say about the other neighbors, and I'm going to talk with Mr. Paradise about combing the neighborhood and seeing if there are carports that are there illegally.
Go down on the end of Maple and there's
Well, he heard you, I'm sure.
Okay.
So I don't think it would be that difficult. Are you willing to move the carport back, the fence yes. back, so that you can meet that?
Well, she is on a small budget right now. I don't know, and that would be a question she'd have to see about what that would cost, because that fence has been there since she's had the house. All that was already there. She just didn't get one with the carport built on the side of it. Most of those with the carport built on the sides built right up to the next parcel of land.
But is there any reason other than financial that you couldn't see that fence could be moved back? There's nothing that would prevent that from
just the gate part.
Right. The gate part hooks to the back of the house.
Now, all right. This, the fence that goes from the left side of the house to the fence that divides the property.
She's showing me that on the...
Yep.
It's on the overhead up here, too.
Okay, the fence that goes across the driveway. Are you talking about the fence on this side?
You're right. I'm not talking about moving a whole, just that little partition there.
The gate
and that little partition back to the...
To the rear of the house.
We could possibly move that back a little bit, but understand that the back of the house there, she has added a kitchen on back there.
Moving it back far enough so that the carport wouldn't have to be out in front of the plane of the neighbor's house.
It won't be out and very far in front. That's all I can tell you. There already are standing carports out.
Yeah, but I'm just asking you, is there any reason it couldn't be done other than
if
financial?
If my mother feels like she's financially able to do it, then there wouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Like I said, she's 86. She's not in the best health, and she just needs to have a carport there so she can park under it for her safety and for light, and light in the neighborhoods and be able to go to her front door. She doesn't go in the back door. It stays locked for her safety.
Any further questions from the board? Thank you.
Thank y'all so much for listening to us.
Do we have others to speak to the variance requests? Final call. Others to speak to the variance requests? The chair would entertain a motion so we can enter a period of discussion.
And Mr. Chairman,
Pat.
I'm not sure right now we can make a motion based on the application, because I'm not sure we have a clear idea of whether an additional variance is needed. The testimony of the zoning official left me wondering if we need another variance, or certainly to research the question. I mean, obviously we could act to approve this, but if we approve it, and the And then we discover, well, you know, it's going to require moving the fence or straddling the fence because you can't go, in front of the frame of the neighbor's house. I don't know what we've accomplished.
Yeah, that's the same concern that Brett made about the plane of the house. Unless we want to do some word engineering in a particular motion.
Legally, the advertisement for the hearing stated others and other associated variances. The idea being that if something came up that was related to the main variance, which would be the carport, that it could be dealt with. So it would be at the board's discretion how they wanted to handle this. I think all options are open.
And you're exactly right. The chair would still entertain a motion.
Before we do a motion, so if we made a motion to approve it as written, then they would have to move the fence to install it.
Not to be beyond the plane of the next door. Yes, that's correct.
Well, we'll see where the board stands. I make a motion that application 1493017. Variance application from Monty Chalker to increase the floor area for the detached buildings to reduce the side setback distance to allow a carport at 704 Maple be approved with the following conditions. Sections 3.4.2E, 3.4.2, and 4.21 be varied to allow a 252 square foot open sided metal carport as conceptually shown. Now let me look at Exhibit G. Actual carport. Okay, I just wanted to make sure it wasn't showing it out in front of the house. In Exhibit G, to locate 2.5 feet from the western side property line, approval runs with the land, and the final order is recorded in the RMC office.
Now, did you want it to be as Exhibit B? Look at Exhibit B.
Did you say conceptually shown as an Exhibit B?
No, I didn't. I said Exhibit G. That's what the carport looks like.
Right.
And I'd like to add as...
Conceptually.
As conceptually drawn in Exhibit B.
B.
Okay.
Right.
Which would mean that the plane would be back with the house.
Right. I second the motion.
It's been properly moved and second that we approve the variance request. Do we have any discussion?
Well, if we said up to a 252 square foot, that would give them the option to get something smaller that they wouldn't have to move the fence. I know they supposedly can't find anything smaller, but I haven't exactly...
I don't have a problem with changing my motion to say
I haven't exactly looked all over the web to see how small of a carport you can get, but... a shorter carport. I mean, that car that she has there, I mean, a 12 foot long, 12 by 12, you almost wouldn't even need the outbuilding variance on something that small.
Well, as I stated, I don't have a problem with varying my motion to say up to, so that they could research that if they chose to.
That's a pretty common length.
I get that.
You'll probably search and find something shorter, but that's a pretty common length for the depth of the garage and the depth of the carport.
Yeah, tying it to exhibit, also to exhibit B, then they are, if they're beyond the fence, the gate, the fence would have to move because it does not conceptually show that it does not go beyond the plane of the front of the house.
Okay. Yeah. So do I need to amend my motion to say up to?
Yeah.
Well, I think so. Just
I don't see a problem with amending it. They don't. That doesn't mean they have to do something shorter. They have options.
Right.
Okay.
And per board member Paternetti's comment, we don't even know if. I guess the problem with the way we've done it is. Maybe they can put a 12 by 21, and it is 8 feet in front of the house, but it's still not in front of the plane of the other house. We've then pigeonholed them into doing something they didn't have to do.
Right. That's why I said I'd change it.
The second maker, do you have any objection to changing up to? The motion would be changed to up to.
Well, that's part of it. The other part of that comment was...
The other house looks like it's closer to the street, so it wouldn't necessarily be there.
Yeah, but okay. Is the board's concern with keeping it to the Exhibit B drawing the fact that we prefer not to be in front of the plane of its own house or the adjacent house?
The adjacent house.
That's what I thought. Right. So... We don't know that it's sticking out 6 or 8 feet is in front of the plane of the adjacent house. We could be that cornering them into something that they don't.
I don't see that we're cornering them into anything.
If the motion maker simply did not address the front plane of the house or the neighbor's house, then the code would not allow any infraction.
Mm-hmm.
The code itself then would apply, which means that the carport could not be in front of the adjacent neighbor's house. And okay. there needs to not be any mention
okay.
at all, because then the code will simply proceed.
Okay, even though it didn't match Exhibit B and it actually extended in front of the house.
You can't, if you reference Exhibit B, then you're locking them into something that they would, by right, not have to do.
That's what I'm saying. So should the reference be...
There should be no reference to B.
Right. That's B.
Reference should be to as long as it doesn't extend beyond the plane of the...
And the code will automatically take care of that because she didn't get a variance for it.
As long as the applicant understands that's the condition that we're approving this in. Not that we're approving it and it can extend beyond the front plane of the neighbor's house if it does.
Correct.
And so she has the ability to either move the fence, buy a shorter carport, whatever, to keep in front of the plane or behind the plane of the neighbor's house. That's
right.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Giving her the most options to accomplish that.
Yeah.
Smaller, finding something shorter, move the fence, some combination of both, whatever. But not locking her into keeping to the level plane of her own house.
Right. Do you want me to read the motion back?
Yes.
Just so we're all on the same. And did you want to not reference Exhibit B?
Well, I'm looking at the picture here, and their house is further back, so that would limit them.
Yeah.
So scratch B.
Okay.
I just thought that Judy found a mistake in what I was saying.
Yeah.
So
So it's only Exhibit G. It's with the... The applicant has to understand that the code that might limit the how far this can go out toward the street would be limited by the front plane of the neighbor's house.
Correct.
And you're saying that's not a condition we have to write in. That would automatically the other zone variance.
If we're interpreting it to mean all detached accessory structures, then it would apply to a carport, and it would be limited.
Right. And then I'm back with Pat then that.
No.
We need to make them aware that stipulation needs to be looked at.
And we are not varying that.
Right.
Okay.
Before I call for a vote, would you reread the motion?
That section 3.4.2.E, 3.4.2, and 4.2.1 be varied to allow an open-sided metal carport up to 252 square feet as conceptually shown in Exhibit G to locate 2 feet 1.5 inches from the western side property line, and then the remainder runs with the land. Final order is recorded.
Hearing no further discussion, you've heard the motion. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. I call your attention to application 14-93018, a variance request regarding side setback distance to expand the rear of the house at 344 Newberry Street Southwest. This is on RS 8 and Historic District. Ms. City, has this been properly posted?
Yes, it has.
Any inquiries that you wish to share with the board?
A short presentation.
Thank you.
The applicant, Courtney Yarborough, who resides and owns the house at 344 Newberry Street Southwest, has come before you with an application to reduce the minimum side setback along the southern property line so that a house addition can be set back 5 feet instead of the normal 10 feet. This is, as you can see in this exhibit, this is an older home built circa 1920s. And what is highlighted here is where the addition would occur. It would be an 8 foot deep, 13 foot wide, basically addition to the bedroom to provide and reorganize the closet space. These older homes have very small closet space, and the applicant and the previous owner had tried to come up with several solutions, but apparently the house addition would have provide the best efficient use of space. Now, one of the things we always look at when we look at an increase of a house expansion is the layout of the homes in the neighborhood, and that this exhibit in front of you indicates there's a tremendous variety in this particular neighborhood regarding size of lot, location of homes. This house, shown in the star, is entirely on the southern half of the property, even though it's a relatively large lot. It's about 15,000 square feet. And for the downtown area, that's a comfortable size. But for reasons not for sure, they stuck the house, not the applicant, but the previous owners, stuck the house way over on the side. And the house itself has a setback ranging from 8 feet to 5 feet, to 3 feet, and then by the time we get back to the bedroom again, it's 5 feet. That's down here. And this gives you a better depiction of the varying angles of the house to the property line. The other thing I'd like to point out is a significant topo change between this house and the neighbor's house, which is shown in this exhibit in your staff report. And this would be the applicant's house, and then you can see the drop down to the neighbor's house. I think it shows up better on the screen in front of you than it does on this board here. The applicant also has a large 7 foot tall wood fence along that southern property line, further screening the two homes. This application, although we don't look at precedent, I do like to point out where there are some similarities. And it's very similar to a previous application on Colleton Street across from the library. In many ways, it's almost strikingly similar because, again, both homes are looking at improving their master bedroom space. And in this case, the applicant would also be providing more symmetry to the back of the house by having it jut out to be roughly the same alignment as the existing rear of the house. This drawing is somewhat incorrect because it doesn't show all of the facade relationship to the property line that the previous survey does. Let me get back to that. This is more accurate.
Okay.
It appears that the applicant may meet all the criteria. Of course, it's up to the board and whether any additional information comes up. But if you do, then there are a few conditions in the back of the staff memorandum to consider.
Questions to the city?
I have questions, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm confused with one thing, and that's looking at Exhibit H. Can you put up Exhibit H?
I don't know if I copied Exhibit H. Is that this?
No. All of the sketches, the photos, certainly Exhibit F and... F shows that the house, the basic planes of the house are parallel to the property line.
Yes, and
if you look at Exhibit H, it doesn't look like it is.
No. Well, the Exhibit F was drawn by the applicant and is not entirely correct.
Okay, so the house is not parallel to the property line.
That this is actually, there's actually an additional indentation right in here that brings the house up to 3 feet of the property line, and then it goes back down to 5 feet. And that's depicted in that first site plan I showed you here. This is more accurate.
Okay. What do we have here? Exhibit F?
This is Exhibit C that's on the board.
Okay, Exhibit C. Let's see if I can use that to answer my question. Okay, Exhibit C. That back plane of the house that is shown 5 feet from the property line.
Yes.
Is that entire plane 5 feet? Or is it 5 feet at that one end and maybe 6 feet at the other end?
Oh.
Yeah.
The applicant has indicated, and I did ask them to measure it all, that 5 feet is what they want.
I know that that's what they want. What I want to know is what the distance of the house is to the property line at those points, and is that entire plane 5 feet?
It would be impossible to answer that correctly because we'd have to actually get the sideline staked.
Are you asking that because you're concerned that the back might actually
over
a little bit more?
Sure. If the house isn't parallel to the property line, that the point where it was 5 feet, if you extend that out geometrically, you know, at an angle, it's going to be less than 5 feet. It may be 4 feet 8 inches, and maybe 4 foot 10 inches. I don't know what I'm approving.
Huh? And then the addition might have to come in to do the...
Yeah. I see that the applicant intends to build following that plane, which at that point is 5 feet. But the question is, does it intrude further into the setback than 5 feet because the house isn't parallel to the property line?
But it looks like it could.
But if anything, the rear of the house is further away from the property line.
No, it's closer.
If you look at Exhibit H.
Exhibit H shows it closer.
Not to me, it doesn't.
Look at Exhibit C on your... on your screen.
I guess Exhibit H would show that it would be end up being further away.
Yeah, it looks like it's further away, not closer.
But I just wanted to get that point clarified.
Yeah. So
I see what
if it's cantilevered away from the thing, it helps our cause, doesn't hurt it.
Right. But if you look at this Exhibit C, it could possibly be the reverse. Look right in the one that's on your glass.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the applicant can help clarify that.
No, I blocked the
middle. The middle of the house has that jut out. That's the closest point to the line. I went as far down the side as
it looks like the closest point to the...
And the building footprint, and we'll let the applicant address it, should be inside the jut out of the side of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have walked the property, and whatever...
Ma'am, we're not ready yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, I waved her up. My fault.
And whatever angle that the house may be at, it's not really clearly evident to the eye, if that helps.
Yeah. None of the sketches and aerials are consistent.
Well, the sketches, except for Exhibit C, the sketches were done by the applicant, and they do not show the 3-foot jut out.
I agree that on Exhibit C, it looks like it's going toward the board, but you referenced H, and the way the city put it is actually the other way around.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused.
Yeah.
But you do pattern see pattern of concern.
I do on C, but you originally referenced H.
Yeah.
If anything, that was going to help the cause, not hurt it. Now, C looks like it's a little bit the other way around.
I have no further questions.
Any further questions to the city?
Oh, yeah, I do have one more.
Oh, right.
The letter in support of the addition, I'm assuming that's the one that's below them, right?
I believe so.
Yes, it is.
Okay. It wouldn't have been that heroic if the person on the other side of the house said it's no problem.
Anyway, thanks, sir.
That's it.
Ms. Alba.
Okay, I'm Courtney Arborough. I live at 344 Newberry Street, Southwest Nakin. And to help you clarify this, this actual drawing was not done by an architect. It was done by Coal Creek. It was really just made for the plants, which is why it's not exactly accurate. But I do believe I have not actually measured it with the measuring tape. I do believe that part of the house is parallel to the fence. It doesn't look like it here because I don't think they were concerned about that when they did the planting. I can't be 100, we did not measure it exactly, but it looks fairly parallel to the fence.
You had no reason to believe or conclude from your purchase or anything else that the house was not parallel to the property?
No, it does. When you go down the side, it looks parallel. Now, it could be off by a few inches, but visually it looks parallel at that end.
Would you say, regardless of whether the front corner and the rear corner are precisely the same measurement to the property line, would you offer that the jut out is clearly closer to the property line than either corner of the house?
Oh, yeah, that jut out is 3 feet, and then it goes back 5 feet.
Okay. That's the most important thing, I think.
Yeah.
And your intention is to build the addition following the plane of that portion of the house?
Exactly, yes.
Which is, as we know, 5 feet from the property line.
Exactly.
Any further questions for Ms. Yarmour? Thank you.
Right.
Do we have others to speak to the variance request? Final call, others to speak to the variance request? Seeing none, the chair would entertain a motion so we can end our period of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, want to bring up to approve application 105-1204-003 with the following conditions. The proposed one-story addition is granted a setback.
That's the tax parcel.
That's the tax parcel. That's not the application number.
Okay, where's that? Oh, excuse me. That line right below it, right? Okay. Excuse me. Wish to approve number 1493018.
Okay.
And with the following conditions, the proposed one-story addition is granted a setback of 5 feet along the southern property line for a length of roughly 8 feet. A certificate of appropriateness is obtained, and the final order is recorded in the Aiken County RMC office.
Do we have a second?
Second the motion.
Been properly moved and second that we approve the application. Do we have any discussion?
I was just wondering if we should reference
the 5 feet. The 5 feet. How about it's 4.5 feet, but it's still parallel to, you see what I'm saying? Is the 5 feet a deal breaker on the?
No, I think.
How about they stay to the rear? They stay parallel to the rear of their house, and turns out it's actually a little less than 5 feet.
I don't think that's necessary because it's going to be parallel. I mean, it's to their advantage to have the it parallel to the house anyway.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if we should just reference, it's conceptually shown in Exhibit C.
I don't think it's necessary based on the fact that that diagram from above is not drawn to scale. This one's not drawn to scale.
Right.
And that they've said their house is parallel to the...
And I have a question to the city. Between Exhibit C and D, I have another exhibit. That's
it says page 2. That C says includes page 2. Two pages on.
Oh,
okay.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I had to look at that price too because I kept going back.
Okay.
Call for vote.
The vote has been called for. No. Those in favor of the motion, show by raise of the right hand. The motion is carried unanimously. The chair would now entertain a motion for adjournment. They properly moved and second. That's not a voting motion.
Now, don't forget to get back to me on the schedule for July and June for the training, 3-hour training.
Oh. Okay, what is that training going to be this year? I hadn't seen it. Have you set it up?
I'm sorry?
No, she's trying to set it up.
We're trying to set it up. I sent out an email asking when you weren't available.
I haven't been home. I'm sorry, and I hadn't read my email since.
Okay.
And some board members were on it, and I'm still waiting for others.
Well, you're waiting for mine because we were on vacation. So
great, thank you.
I don't check it on vacation.
I thought that's what she's asking for.
I'm really glad you called.
Yeah. So I need to know what she's
complaining of the house. I haven't mentioned that myself.
Yeah.
You just
hello.
Got right in there. Good.
Yeah, mean the
drawing. Okay, did you give a certain date someday?
No.
She's asking you what dates you're not available.
Dates, aren't you available?
June and July.
Hello? Let's say June and July.
Does it have to be on